Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 538. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. Long time, no talk to. How you doing?
I am doing fine, and I'm glad to be back on the show. And surprisingly, I'm not on the show because Roman Reigns cut a bad promo, but his old buddy Seth Rollins has been cutting bad promos lately, so that's a benefit.
Yeah, I had kind of thought about that earlier in the day. I'm like, oh man, I wonder if Shahid's any better with terrible Seth Rollins promo talk.
I would say it's far more enjoyable because I think it was meant to be terrible.
Yeah, once he went in on Ray and your stupid little kid, I was just like, yeah, he's kind of going for some gusto here. That's why I really wasn't even joking about if he keeps being that kind of a level of an asshole for like an extended period of time, people are going to start cheering for him again.
Yes, which is funny because the weird thing is he's not an effective babyface unless he's being an asshole heel. And oh, yeah. It says a lot because I was watching that Raw segment. And it was like, you know, one, it starts off with Randy Orton. And I was like, when did Randy Orton become a babyface? Because the crowd was treating him like a babyface. And I laughed when he did a little jerk-off motion when he was walking away. You know, kind of like under his breath. Then he gets into Charlotte. She leaves. Then he gets like Authors of Pain. Like, you guys weren't even on there. It says a lot, though. Like, when he starts talking about Rey Mysterio, everybody left. Because, like, you know, don't mess with Rey Mysterio. He's like the godfather of basically Raw at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he really is because, he certainly gets treated with some level of respect, at least. I still question that from time to time, but definitely you should be losing the crowd when Rey Mysterio and his stupid little kid get picked on.
Yeah, I did laugh at that line, and then Kevin Owens just listened to him, just giving him a stunner, as he should. And it's like, it says a lot where, you know, I know Seth Rollins isn't from Chicago, but he's been walking around with Bulls colors and a Jordan number 23, like that's his adopted hometown, like he's a Bears fan, and even in his hometown this weekend, he's been treated like a chump. Like, everywhere he's gone, whether it's NXT or SmackDown or pay-per-views, like, the crowd has not liked him at all.
No. And, I you know, if I'm the WWE, you just really do need to lean into it at this point. Definitely some of it lays on his plate. I still will maintain that there's definitely a large portion that is some terrible writing for him during his title reigns that have, you know, kind of helped this become what it's become.
Well, they had to know because Kevin Owens wouldn't cut that promo Monday if they didn't realize what they made, because he basically said, you know, between me and you is, I know exactly who I am, and I've been content with it, and I'll never let anybody change me, and you've been trying to be this face of Raw in this company, man, you've been a miserable prick. And the funny thing is, that's exactly what people have been complaining about Seth Rollins being. It's like, stop trying to be Bret Hart, because you come off as like heel version Bret Hart when you're supposed to be trying to be babyface Bret Hart.
Yeah, it's a really fine line to walk in some regards, especially with, it's still crazy how much kind of heel tactics do get cheered these days, just on a general basis.
The crowd likes what they like, and they like assholes when the assholes are charismatic. When they're just assholes, you're just Baron Corbin or you're just Seth Rollins. Nobody likes that.
Oh man, yeah, I was about in tears when Rollins got booed and he had that Jordan stuff on. I was just like, wow, man, that takes a special level of talent to get booed that hard. pandering to the crowd that much.
You're booing me, pal. I'm wearing your colors. Like, yes, Chicago does not care. They'd rather cheer for Walter than cheer for you.
Oh, yeah, and they certainly did. They did showcase that.
Yeah, it's just been a weird thing because you know who's happy about all of this? Roman Reigns. Because I think fans realize, like, you know what? Maybe Roman wasn't that bad. Because, man, I'm like, it's bad. And Roman was definitely bad, but I'm like, Seth Rollins just, Roman was just, we knew it was bad, but we didn't blame him because it wasn't his fault. We blamed more, like, Vince. And just got mad at, like, WWE in general. Seth feel like a lot of it just feels personal because Seth goes on Twitter and basically, you know, I'm the man. I have more 5-star matches than anybody I have. And the ones who think they're close to me, I make more money than them. And just being like, I'm a die on this WWE shield. It's like, you don't need to do all that. Just sound corny. Just stop being corny.
Yeah, I guess that is the one thing, is that even if the WWE hasn't really acknowledged that stuff, it has certainly hurt his character just because enough people that go to the shows pay attention to that stuff. And, oh, man, yeah, his Twitter presence could really use a... He could use some time off.
Yes. Becky needs to go in there and, like, you know, turn his Twitter off. And she can also turn off Corey Graves' Twitter, too. We'd be better off for it.
Oh, jeez. I think we need to talk to Carmella to get her to...
Hey, yeah, Carmella, get your man.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, that was one story over the weekend that I definitely was unawares of until Monday morning sometime. Poof. I guess, you know, it's always weird. I guess I enjoy Mauro as an announcer. I know that there is definitely a large contingent of people that really do not like him.
I don't know if it's large. I just think the ones that don't is very vocal about it.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, and I think Corey Graves represents, like, that whole voice. It kind of is kind of like, you know, people think Mauro does too much. He needs to calm down and stuff. And it's like Gus Johnson. It's like the people, like, most people in general like Gus Johnson, but the ones who do not detest that style, they like it's just grandstanding too much, like, chill out.
Yeah, and I guess Gus Johnson is always the guy that I've been behind in that department. I'd rather too much gusto than too
Brent
little.
Musburger has sleep. Except for if a hot co-ed comes out and he can lust over him for 5 minutes. Yeah, I agree with that too. And WWE's in the same boat. And no, I didn't hear about it until I saw it on Twitter. Because I was like, how come Mauro isn't in Survivor Series? And the story comes out. And then Michael Cole basically has to go down and lie. Like, Mauro was so excited he lost his voice. And you can see Nigel and Beth looking at him like, whatever.
I think I was running around still, like, cleaning up from dinner, so I'm not sure I saw everyone at that moment. I was just listening to it. Oh, that would have been priceless to see their faces.
Oh, you should have seen the look on their face. They just looking at him like, you know, goddamn, like, it's kind of like, you know, goddamn well what happened, and we got a lie. Because Nigel was already feeling away anyway, because Lawler's making jokes about Roderick Strong at the trailer park, and Nigel did not take it as a joke. He was very offended, as he should. Because I'm like, Lawler's a babyface commentator at this point. So why is he making these type of jokes that's real life stuff? Like, oh, you know, I heard, is it a double wide? Does he got a truck? And Nigel was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, this the very sudden Lawler turn has been pretty weird. Because I even started scratching my head. That was another one that I did see on Twitter when I was doing the Raw column, that someone's like, "Oh, the heel Lawler is the best Lawler." Because I guess I didn't pay attention to it during Survivor Series, but I definitely noticed it on Raw the next day. I'm like, the fuck is going on here? Like, when did this happen? Like, I'm confused right now. Like you said, he's generally been a babyface.
Yes. It seemed like it happened this weekend. Or maybe it started to happen when Dio Madden was out. And we just didn't notice it. But it was definitely noticeable this weekend. It was noticeable Monday. And it's like, it's not, maybe because it's just the two of them now. So it's like, you know, if you're going, because it's like now it's a two-man booth. So if you're going to have a regular play-by-play man, then normally the commentator tends to be heelish when it's just two.
Yeah, I mean, but I guess that is the strange thing. I'm like, I guess I've expected Dio to come back at some juncture, but now, like, is this the third week that he's been out now?
Yeah, he ain't coming back.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, I don't even feel like they said, oh, he's going to come back. Like, at least the first week, they're like, oh, Dio's still healing up from his injuries.
Yeah, the first week he's healed, and then the second week Samoa Joe decides to do it, and then this week it's just two people. It's like, he ain't coming back.
Yeah, I mean, that's one where I, in a lot of ways, I feel bad for that guy just because, like, it felt like he had, like, zero experience, and then they shove him onto Raw with Jerry Lawler, of all people.
And it's not like Lawler's better than I thought he'd be, considering, like, he hadn't been good in a long time and he hadn't been doing it in a while, but it's still like Jerry Lawler. It just feels weird, yeah. Like it's Jerry Lawler doing Raw in 2019.
Yeah, for all their hang-ups about the appearance of their commentators, that one certainly gets a pass.
I mean, Lawler's old, but he doesn't look super old because all that plastic surgery. he just looks like, you know, how old is Lawler anyway?
I don't know. He looks like a goddamn Chucky doll is what he looks like.
Yeah, like, I don't know how old, like, he doesn't look his age. And I'm not saying that as a compliment either, so, but.
No, that's one of those bad instances of not looking your age. And it about killed me when he mentioned the other week that 49, dude, he's 70?
Okay, that makes sense. He don't look 70.
No.
I don't know what he looks like, but he doesn't look like a 70-year-old man that's wrestled for a long time. And put it this way, he looks younger than the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh my God. That isn't even a contest. Oof, man.
Hey, but look, they're doing Canadian Destroyers. So, I will give props to that. It's a funny year. I was thinking about 2019, the fact that one, the Rock and Roll Express is like one of the hottest teams on the planet, where they're showing up in AEW, they're showing up in New Japan, they show up in the Indies, they're still wrestling. I watch Survivor Series, and I see a ring, Keith Lee, Walter, and Matt Riddle on a Survivor Series team in Chicago on TV. Like, they're the most popular people in the ring. I'm like, what universe am I in?
Yeah, it's been a year. It's been pretty wild. I was pretty pumped. I remember watching Keith Lee over in Ring of Honor, and I've been pretty excited about his potential pretty much since the first time seeing him. And, I was kind of hoping that he'd beat Roman Reigns, but I didn't really think that it was going to happen, I don't think.
But the fact that you thought it was a chance, because I was talking to Jeremy about it, it's like, I didn't think he was going to beat him either, but I felt like he might. And just the fact that I was even thinking that, it's like, wow, I would have never guessed that. And it's like, Keith Lee didn't lose anything by losing. And it says a lot that Roman Reigns didn't get booed out the building either. Because had this happened 2 years ago, he'd have got that treatment would have been horrible. And the fact, like, they cheered us, like, you know, the stuff with Baron Corbin kind of rehabilitated Roman Reigns, because it's like, yeah, it's far worse people than Roman Reigns. So,
yeah. And, yeah, because it kind of set his, like, because Corbin had kind of made the offhanded comment when the leukemia popped up, it kind of helped keep Roman Reigns on babyface territory. And like you said, like, I think people, for whatever reason, with that, whatever he was gone, 6 months or so, you know, I don't know why it dawned on people that he was a good wrestler in the meantime. Well, probably because we saw how much trash happened directly after Roman Reigns left the scene, actually.
Oh, you mean when Raw went in the toilet? Because that's basically what happened when Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns left, and Raw was just horrible, and they blame, it's like, oh, it's Baron Corbin's fault, after his blaming Kurt Angle. Like, that became a storyline, how much Raw sucked. Like, we did forget about that, but that was like the McMahon's, like, you guys are responsible for the lowest ratings in history. They were saying that on Raw TV, the announcement was saying, thanks to Baron Corbin, our show's been trash for 2 months. I have never seen something batshit insane like that. That they basically said, yes, our show is trash. We know why it's trash. And it's this guy's fault.
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely sent messages before, especially through The Miz, most frequently, as of maybe probably the last 5 years. But that was a whole new level of message sending, in my opinion. Yeah,
that was some WCW stuff that was going on. And it's, I don't know, WWE is in a weird spot where I love watching NXT. SmackDown has people I like, but it's in storylines I don't care about. And Raw is just a mess. I mean, this week was a good week of Raw, but Raw just been like, what are they doing? And I know it gets a lot of views on YouTube. That Lashley, and I know it's good this week, that Lashley Rusev line of stuff, like, that needs to get dumped in the trash can.
Yeah, that's what I kind of mentioned it to you. I was snickering at the wife's Christmas movies, the Hallmark variety. So she decided to cut like a 15-minute promo on how terrible Raw and SmackDown are right now. And it was...
You brought down yourself.
Yeah, I did bring it on myself. And I was just like... And she's like, you know that I'm right, that it's terrible right now. Because she's been... She doesn't mind going to the live events, just because there's, you know, kind of something in it for her. But yeah, I mean, when it's that noticeable that Raw has been a, you know, she kind of mainly watches the beginning of Raw, and then now that SmackDown has moved to Fridays, she catches that a little bit more because I end up watching it over the weekend. There are some parts where I'm just like, nah, I just kind of disagree with you on that one. Like, she definitely hates Bray Wyatt and the whole Fiend character. And I'm like, nah, that's one of the better parts. Like, there's some terrible stuff on there, but I'll defend that part. But, you know, so, but I guess my point is that someone with that kind of little exposure to the product has kind of realized that it hasn't been very good currently. And she does, like, it's kind of funny because she's like, well, I do like NXT, but she's like, there's no one talking for, she kept on saying 40 minutes. But, you know, because the promos are short in NXT and it's mostly wrestling is why she says she likes it.
I mean, it's just, it seems like they're serving different masters. And it's funny where the ratings have been good, but I think most of that's been like Survivor Series and like people showing up on different shows. And one thing that's been proven with all the Survivor Series things is we've had discussions, you and I, and me and Jeremy had discussions about how certain members of NXT could they be on the main roster and stand out. And basically, it's like, you know, it was Ciampa and Undisputed Era, specifically Adam Cole. Because it was like, yeah, we like Adam Cole. How's he going to look in a SmackDown ring? Will he look like a lollipop kid? Or will he look like a grown man? And one thing that established with NXT is they were fine. They act like they won. The crowd knew who they were. The crowd seemed like a big deal. And Triple H basically made sure, like, yes, my wrestlers are going to look good this entire time. You ain't burying none of them. And they look like they belong in the ring. And specifically, I did not realize how tall Keith Lee was, so he stood toe-to-toe with Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I realized that Keith Lee was a very large gentleman. But yeah, I was like, oh my god, he's almost as tall as Strowman. That was a little shocking, I guess.
Yeah, like their Survivor Series team, they had the biggest team. Because between Lee, Damian Priest and Walter, it's like those are big men. It's a very big men.
Dijakovic.
Was it up for? Dijakovic was on a takeover team.
But oh for shit! Yeah,
was Damian Priest.
Yeah, you're right. I'm
because Dijakovic made a joke talking about, you know, you, like, if you would have had me, y'all would have won. He made a joke on Twitter about that after Sunday happened.
Oh.
So, but no, it was like they were big people, and the crowd treated like big deals. And the biggest one that surprised me was how much the crowd got behind Walter. Because it's like, you know, I know he's a big deal indie-wise, but he's basically been in the UK. And, of course, when they were overseas and they had SmackDown there, over, you know, England treat like a big deal. I didn't know how it would be in Survivor Series because, like, somebody with Walter's body type, Kevin Dunn normally would not let them anywhere near the television. And he was in there, and they were treating him like he's the... I made a joke saying, like, that's the type of guy Russell Crowe fights at the end of Cinderella Man. Because he's just built like an old-school guy that's just like, I beat people up.
I thought you were going to go with the end of Gladiator.
That works too. Like, put a lion mask and a shield in his hand, and that definitely works too. Because it's like, he's built like somebody from back in the day. It's like, I just beat people up.
Yeah, and they do a pretty good job of presenting him that way. Like, even in the limited exposure that I've had with him, just because I haven't watched the UK product really almost at all. I guess when you call yourself the ring general, it kind of helps.
They treat him like it. Like, he was going toe-to-toe with Braun Strowman and holding his own. He knocked down Braun Strowman. You know, like, they were treating him like he was a big deal. And you could tell he was a big deal because as soon as he got eliminated, the crowd turned on the match. Like, I talked to Jim, like, I hated that match up until the end. Because I was like, you basically booking, like, you get rid of all the people that fans like so you can have people hate Baron Corbin. Gee, thanks.
Oh, yeah. That was definitely... The wife is still not approving of King Corbin. And I gotta...
They spending the whole time him and Reigns arguing half the match. You know, Drew McIntyre pins somebody, get pinned. Randy Orton pinned somebody, get pinned. Like, in 3 minutes, half the people in the match were pinned. And then Braun Strowman gets counted out.
Yeah, that was... That, I guess I was kind of surprised. Like, that first match, I felt like... Because it was... was it the ladies' Survivor Series-style match up first?
That's the Dames fall first.
Okay, yeah. I couldn't believe how long they went before a pinfall happened. And then they went into, oh, we're going to eliminate everyone here in about 5 minutes.
So they were tired, so that made more sense. And then It's, I'd rather they do it that way than just do it at the beginning like they used to have it. Survivor Series, somebody get pinned by a suplex.
Yeah.
And then they used the excuse of like the NXT women were tired from yesterday. They did a good job, so like the NXT people, a lot of them were tired from TakeOver. So that's why they explained some of their losses. And it was slick how they really like Rhea Ripley.
Yes, they do. Yeah, I mean, she definitely got the best of the weekend. You know, she pins Shayna Baszler Saturday night against all odds, 4-2 odds. So that's kind of nice, especially since someone said that it's been about 2 years since Shayna's been pinned.
Yeah, Kairi Sane, that first to pin him, and that was like on a fluke pin.
Yeah, and that was not a fluke pin at all.
She beat her without the odds, and then she pinned Sasha Banks Sunday with help from Shirai and Candice LeRae. And I'll say this, and I made the comment, Rhea Ripley is the most popular NXT wrestler women-wise to WWE fans. Al Shirai is the most popular NXT wrestler women-wise to NXT fans, because Al Shirai is treated like a rock star, and the crowd treats like a rock star, and for somebody that's not super big, her offense looks like it just hurts like hell. Like she's just murdering people with those damn drop kicks. And the stuff she does in the air, like, you know, when they say guys of the sky, I'm like, okay. Like, you know, think about it. Then she does the stuff like, you know, Steve used to make fun of her moonsault talking about it's low. I'm like, yeah, that thing hurts. It's not sloppy like Lita's. Like, she's just not spending a lot of time in the air. She's just hitting you with it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting just because I don't feel like she, for being called, because it's not Goddess of the Sky. What the hell is
Empress,
it?
Empress of the Sky. What was it? The. Some, no. Ask us the Empress.
Genius of the Sky.
Genius of the Sky.
Yeah, I've got to find. You always need to find the right one. You know, she doesn't really have that much high flying offense. You know, because she does kind of keep it a little more grounded, I guess, than I would normally think. But you're right, like, she keeps it pretty hard-hitting for someone who's fairly small.
Yeah, like, the air stuff she does all is impactful. Like, her drop kicks are probably the hardest in the roster.
Yeah.
She does, though, that step over, that's, you know, second rope moonsault. Like, she doesn't do a lot of aerial stuff. But the aerial stuff she does, she just make it look so damn easy. Like, it just looks, like, effortless. And not, like, Ricochet effortless. Like, it's just like, oh, it's a top rope. I'm just going to hop on it. Like, there's no struggle whatsoever. It's like she just, like a video game, like she just hits the jump button. And next thing you know, she's on the rope.
Yeah. Dare I say a Rob Van Dam-ishness to her offense in some ways?
Rob's was more... It's, you know what it is? Her area offense like Eddie Guerrero's.
Oh.
Because, like, Rob's was more, had, like, more air. Like, his was, like, his stuff hurt, but he got, like, air with his stuff. It was floaty. Hers is not floaty. Hers is just... She just hits you. Like, she just goes through the air quick and just hits you like a shotgun.
Well, yeah, definitely that top rope drop kick. It always seems like she launches someone about halfway across the ring when she hits it.
Yeah, and it helps. Like, half the time she's been hitting little girls like Candice LeRae, or as I call it, the Gwyneth Paltrow of NXT. You want to know why I call it Gwyneth Paltrow of NXT? Because Candice LeRae is just there. She doesn't hurt anything. She doesn't necessarily help anything. She just takes a spot, and she's nice. There's nothing special about her, but there's nothing offensive about her either. She's just fine. Just like Gwyneth Paltrow. She's just fine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think she's going to... yeah. I guess I don't see her being the champion at any juncture.
Jeez, I mean, when you just need somebody that's inoffensive, when you just want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you got Candice LeRae. Because you look at all the other women that's there, they all have something that stands out. Like Bianca Belair has her athleticism and her sass. Mia Yim has her personality. Al Shirai's like ring skills. Tegan Nox has her knee braces, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, Rhea Ripley, her whole thing is, I'm a big bully that, this is the show to say it, Rhea Ripley has proved that there's a lot of WWE fans that's into some, you know, submissive personalities, because, yeah, they like, oh, I wish Rhea Ripley would choke me. Like, you don't got to tell people that on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
And it's not just the women saying it either. I'm just saying Rhea Ripley has something that she's bringing, you know, as, or I like to call her Pete Dunne's big sister. So just brings it out. Oh, you put them, hey, you know, you put them next to each other pictures. It's a before and after of Neutrogena. You see Pete Dunne, Rhea Ripley. So we definitely made those jokes before. But no, oh, it's yeah. something, especially with her style now, it's something that just brings out something people like, you know, I want to be dominated by Rhea Ripley. I'm like, look, we all have our fetishes, that's fine. But I don't need to know about all of them because it's not going to happen. She is happily with her boyfriend. That is not you. So chill out.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, she has a ring on already? I was like, damn, man, she's getting hitched early.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Quick, she took Toni Storm's spot. And now, because it's kind of like, when NXT UK was a thing, everyone assumed Toni Storm was going to be the one they pushed and the shining star, because she was. And then she got hurt for a little bit, and Rhea Ripley just got pushed to the moon. And she has a look about her, one. It's like she looks like she's a badass, and she wrestles like she's a badass. And she's one of the biggest women on the roster. And it's not like Charlotte is tall, but Charlotte never looks like she's imposing. Rhea looks imposing. Rhea looks like, I'm just a real big woman that can just hurt you.
I think it seemed like they were about the same height when they went up against each other, but Rhea definitely has, it seems like she has a bigger frame than Charlotte has.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that definitely, like, is the whole look is just, it's an awesome look. Like,
yeah.
NXT has a whole lot of people that just has awesome looks that just stands out. You know, even like people like Damian Priest. When I first saw Damian Priest, I'm like, this guy's a cornball that should be on Mortal Kombat. Like, everything, like, this gimmick is just silly. The Archer of Infamy, what the hell does that mean? I don't see not one bow, not one arrow. He don't have a goatee. He don't have a green. He don't have a hood. What? Why is he in a limousine going to nightclubs? What did that have to do with wrestling? I'm like, whatever. But he's grown on me. I don't know what it is, but it's like, you know, one, he's tall. He's not clunky. He can move very well for a big man. That music is cheesy, but it's catchy. And I don't know. NXT just has a way, like, you know, we'll push some, like, you're going to end up liking it regardless if you want to or not.
I do like NXT's commitment to doing such things. But Priest is another one I saw kind of early on in ROH, and I started to like him. I kind of cooled off a little bit on him some, but he seems to have kind of come back with a gusto in NXT. And, he's definitely more of your, I guess it does get bad sometimes where anyone that's big, I will be way more biased about than someone who's smaller. I definitely feel like I'm anti-WWE in that department, so I feel like those guys have more to prove to me sometimes.
Yeah, that makes sense. And one thing I noticed with NXT is before, they used to keep the big guys separate from the small guys. It's like, Roderick Strong didn't wrestle anybody bigger than him. They wrestled all the same size people. And then you left like Keith Lee wrestle Dijakovic, and, you know, Killian Dane or wrestle somebody that's bigger. You know, he might bully around Pete Dunne, but it's like the big dudes wrestle big dudes, small dudes wrestle small dudes. And that has changed. Now it's like people just wrestle whoever. And I don't know if that's part of like the main roster being involved or I first noticed like when Roderick Strong and Russell Keith Lee died of COVID. You wouldn't have saw that match 6 months ago because they would not have had Roderick Strong in the ring with those two monsters. But they was like, you know what? We're on TV now. Whatever. Size is not going to make a difference anymore. Whoever wrestles, wrestles.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's almost more out of necessity than it is out of practicality. You just need to have more matchups with 2 hours of TV. Like, they definitely have enough people on the NXT roster in and of itself to fill 2 hours. But I think you need to open up the playbook a little bit more now that you aren't an hour every week. Like, I mean, it's going to make a difference.
And you're not going to always have the luxury of having WWE wrestlers on there. No, like,
oh,
you know, you're not going to have like the Revival on there having a match, or the Kabuki Warriors having a title match. I know Finn Balor's back there. You know, Finn Balor's back. But it's kind of like 2 hours helps because you get to see people more than once a month. So that's definitely a thing. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you're still seeing a lot of the same people over and over. And it doesn't help that Johnny Gargano is injured and Velveteen Dream is injured.
Oh.
You have to deal with that.
Yeah, and those were two guys that were chewing up a lot of scenery.
Yeah, especially Velveteen Dream. He's chewing up a whole lot. Now it's like one of your biggest people you have, you don't get to use. So you got to kind of like, so now you get to see more Damian Priest. Or you see more Killian Dane on TV. Because before it's like, because I remember like you see Keith Lee, you wouldn't see him again for like 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah, that was so bizarre. Him and Dijakovic had the first fight, and then he kind of disappeared off TV for the most part. Like, I think he had a promo here or there, but, you know, he got sidelined because Dijakovic was injured too at the time, I believe.
And they didn't know what to do. So now it's kind of like, okay, you see, because I know tomorrow they have a tag title match. Dijakovic and Lee versus Undisputed Era.
Oh, well.
Yeah. They both made jokes on Twitter talking about, they basically made Monstar jokes from Space Jam. Both Dijakovic and Lee have made those same type of jokes. So, you know, it's funny how things happen. You know, rivals become tag team, but it's like, I know it's wrestling, and I know size should make a difference. It's hard for me to believe, like, as good as O'Reilly and Fish is, it's hard for me to believe that they could beat Lee and Dijakovic.
Yeah.
Like, in a fair fight. Like, if it's shenanigans, then sure. You know, I know they're the tag team, and Dijakovic and Lee aren't the tag team, so that's advantage for them. But it's like, they're not just bigger than them. They're bigger and they're skilled. He's not just like big clumsy dude. So I'm looking forward to seeing the match because I'm sure it'd be a hell of a match.
Yeah, because, Dijakovic is another one that I feel like he's smooth. He's been a little bit better since the injury, honestly, in the ring.
Yeah, slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, he doesn't need to do things fast. Like, even though he can do that, like, it's not always necessary to do that.
Yeah, the Randy Orton rule.
Yeah, exactly. I guess.
Because Randy Orton said, like, he used to do a lot of cross body stuff like that. And Arn Anderson's like, you ain't got to do all that shit, so don't do it. Like, the same thing Big Show is like, yeah, I know you can do a drop kick. You're the Big Show. Stop doing drop kicks off the top rope. Get that shit. You're a giant. So.
Yeah. And he can definitely do giant offense while still kind of sprinkling in some flash in there to remind you that he's agile too.
But here's the thing though. They don't have any big men that's clumsy anymore. Like, all their big men are at least, like, functional, but it's like, you see the stuff Keith Lee can do. You see what Killian Dane can do. You can see what the Viking Raiders can do. Like, that's just unfair. Like, it's unfair what a lot of the wrestlers can do. Like, you see someone like Montez Ford, and I'm like, how does he do what he does?
Yeah, that is a great question. Like I the amount of hops that he has is pretty insane, whether it's a frog splash or a flip dive.
Because Ricochet is super athletic, but you know he's athletic, and you can tell he's using all his athleticism to do what he does, and most of that stuff's impossible. Montez Ford seems like he's not even trying. He's just like, oh, I need to do a frog splash and change my body 180 degrees to hit him at the other direction. Cool, no problem. I'll still get the same air, no big deal. And he just does it. And he's bigger than Ricochet.
That was the one I couldn't believe that. And I mean, I know I put it in the column and probably on Twitter too. Like when the Street Profits were having their beef with the OC, I was just like, holy shit, he's kind of dwarfing AJ Styles.
He's a big man.
I'm like, holy shit, like I guess that also gave me more respect for how big Angelo Dawkins is. I'm like, dear Lord, how big is that guy?
Dawkins is huge. Dawkins like 275. He's a big man. He's one of those deceptively big men. Like he doesn't look big till you put him next to big dudes and he's looking them eye to eye because he doesn't. His thing is he doesn't look big until you put him next
No.
to big people. It's like they're the same size. And it's like, oh. Angelo Dawkins is a big man because Angelo Dawkins moves too, and you
Yeah.
never think about that because I always thought him like the clumsy dude that's just hanging on by the coattails. Like, no, he holds his own, and he's yeah. There's so many big guys like that can do that, and it's kind of like if you're not, we're getting better athletes than we've ever gotten before in professional wrestling that can do things that they can't do. Because somebody like Matt Riddle, he can do almost anything he wants to do in the ring. And all of it looks natural, and it's not like he started wrestling like 9. He did MMA first. He just did wrestling later, and you think he'd been wrestling for 20 years?
Yeah, some of those wrestlers, not all of them, but between him, Brock Lesnar, and Kurt Angle, those guys caught on awfully quick. Well, and even Ronda Rousey. I
Yeah,
mean, I
Ronda
know it
Rousey caught
wasn't.
on super quick, like scarily quick. And wrestling's hard because you see the people, you see something like Eva Marie, who never caught on. It's like she's an athlete, but she's always kind of like one, two, three step, one, two, three spin, clothesline. Like she counting the steps in their head. It's like even when you're like being athletic is not enough if you're not fluid. And it's different between the people that like fluid and natural and the ones who aren't. Like, you look at the women, and I've always said, like, you see how Sasha and Bayley move. They're fluid. They just move around, especially Sasha. Sasha's like a pinball. She moves her body like she has no bones. And it just looks dangerous,
Yeah.
but it's always like, she just knows where to be at. Becky is like, everything is effort. She's like John Cena. Everything's just clumsy and clunky. But she tries her best to do what she needs to do, and she does enough for it to work. But it's not natural.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I think that was you that mentioned all clumsy feet on Twitter, and I was just like, yeah, I guess I didn't think about that. Like you said, like it's all in attitude, basically, like personality.
I'm the chomp. The chomp is here with the man. Yeah, she gets over like telling people how great she is, and we all believe it because she carries herself like she's great. And she's in the ring like I'm gonna do my best, but it's like her stuff is not smooth at all. It's like John Cena level of clunky without like John Cena's freakish strength. But she gets by thinking like, I'm gonna win and I'm gonna do what it takes to win. It's like, okay, she says she's gonna win. I believe her.
Yeah, she definitely put the package together to work to her deficit or work against her deficits.
Yes. But it
Yeah.
becomes an issue when it's like three-way matches because, and I've noticed that a lot, like three-way matches work when you had the right people. And that women's match didn't work because Shayna should never be in a three-way match. Her thing is, I'm a tough guy MMA fighter. And either I'm going to prove how tough I am or you're going to prove you're tough and need to beat me. Becky's whole thing is, I'm going to beat you through sheer will. Those don't match when you got a third person in there, because they just clash too much. Like, they don't have chemistry in there. And Bayley can only do so much to be like, there, you know, I'll be your stomping block. Like, I'll bump for you, then I'll bump for you. Like, having one of them like that in the match is fine, but having them both in the match like that. Because the same thing happened at WrestleMania. Like, when Ronda Rousey and Becky had the same problem, Charlotte can only do so much. Like, certain styles don't mesh, and their styles didn't mesh. So that's why the match was boring. Had nothing to do with the talent levels. Like, their styles didn't mesh.
Yeah, styles make fights, as the kids like to say. And, yeah, I guess I didn't realize how off that match was. It was one that I wanted to go back and rewatch just to kind of, you know, just to see how bad it was. But, yeah, I guess I didn't even get around to finishing TakeOver. Although I did still see the ladies' War Games match, so I mean, I think I feel good enough anyway.
I would definitely watch the last match, like the men's, if you have not, because if you want to see Adam Cole almost die, that would be a good match to watch.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I should watch that, because much to the agreeance of the wife, like, NXT certainly is a more enjoyable watch for me, just in general.
But think about the week Adam Cole had. He had a ladder match Wednesday. He had War Games on Saturday. And then he had the match with Pete Dunne on Sunday. And he still has a broken wrist. While doing all this.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny that depending upon what you do for a profession, you can get away with that. Like, that is definitely one of those things that, you know, you kind of have, for me, it's that hockey mentality where it's just like,
I was about to call you Kevin Malkin. It's like, yeah, depending on what you do, you can just put some ice on it, wrap it up for the organization. Yeah,
well, and that's kind of what Cole is doing, honestly, right now. Like, because, I mean, I also, like, when I was playing basketball, believe it or not, I fractured my wrist. And, yeah, you can't play basketball once you fracture a wrist. Throwing it out there.
Yes.
You know, you can do some professional wrestling with the broken wrist, especially depending upon, you know, the level of brokenness. And I mean, you could probably play hockey on that too, but it's a whole different ball game when you're trying to do, yeah, basketball, yeah, even baseball.
I wouldn't want to try to climb a damn ladder with a broken wrist. I know you can, then you should. I know why he did it. It's like, you know, they need me. It's a tough time. This is my opportunity. I don't want to miss it. And he definitely made a name for himself for this. Like, they told him to slow down on Saturday because he rested Sunday, and they, like, Undisputed Era, don't slow down. Do 100%. Be like Randy Orton. Slow down and chill. Don't be like Johnny Gargano as kind of, and like Ciampa, where it's like they age in their dog years. Because every time I see Ciampa, it's like that spawn clock. Like, he is on borrowed time. Like, every time I see him, it's like, yeah, you look good, but you don't really look good. It's like, it cannot, because he came back real soon from that neck injury, and people was wondering if he was going to come back at all. It's like, I don't know how much time he got left, but he just feel like he's wrestling like somebody, like, I'm going to give everything I got so I'm on the announce table.
Yeah, it's probably not the not the best plan. To do that, to go long term. But I mean, I guess part of their problem, at least, is that they have been doing it long term already themselves. Cole has not been at it quite as long as either of those two.
Yeah, but it's like you still got that indie mileage, and some of them got a lot on it. Like the same thing like Samoa Joe had. Like,
Oh.
His body was basically shot by the time he got to WWE. From all the stuff he was doing, not just ROH, but TNA. You know, like, it was Samoa Joe before he did that bump on the ramp or the steps in that match in TNA. And then it was Samoa Joe afterwards. And they were two completely different wrestlers.
Yeah, that's been unfortunate. I was actually kind of hoping that he was going to be on the announced team more frequently because I about fell over laughing with his commentary.
I have a feeling that he will be, that that's his future, because it's a lot of people like that, like him, Alexa Bliss. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if her body built for wrestling. No offense to her, it's like, you know, she just seems like she's always hurt all the time, and
style
gonna pass you by. It's kind of like wrestling wasn't the thing that got her over anyway. It was personality and look, and it's like now it's like you're not available. You're not there. What's the point?
Yeah, I mean, that's why when I ended up seeing JoJo pop up as a ring announcer, I'm like, yeah, she's better off doing that.
Yeah, some people aren't built for the ring. It's like, because look at the way Ruby Riott had to repair both shoulders. How long is she going to be back? Ember Moon's basically going to be out for like another year. And she's been injured a lot since she's been on the main roster. It's like, yes, some bodies aren't built for it. Look at Nikki Bella. Not even that old. She's retired. It has nothing to do with having a baby either. It's like, because she got a bad neck like Edge.
Yeah.
Paige, retired. Early 20s. Career over.
Yeah, professional wrestling is not a joke. Even though they're not having the problems at least I hope they won't have the problems of some of those wrestlers from our childhood had later in life. You know, it still takes a toll on your body.
Yes, that's why the smart ones wrestle a certain style. Like The Miz wrestles a style where it's like, I'm wrestling safe. Can make fun of me, but I don't get hurt. I'm always here. I'm chilling, getting checks, making love to my model wife, and having babies, and doing a little TV show. I ain't walking around with a cane or walking around can't wrestle with because of concussions like Christian or a bad neck like Edge. Like, no, I'm going to age well. You know, look at Randy Orton. Let's talk about Randy Orton.
Sure.
Because Raw, he's coming out and pandering to the crowd. She's got like, Chicago want to see me get you RKO. And I'm like, and Chicago was cheering like, yeah, we want to see it. And I'm like, since when? When did I miss that, Randy? Like, first he was teaming with Ricochet. Now he a babyface and he helping Rey Mysterio. Like, what did I miss?
You didn't miss anything. Because I'm like, when he didn't attack Ricochet, and then, like, the next week they were chumps, I'm like, the fuck is going on here? Like, this is what, like, I guess I kept on waiting for him to turn on Ricochet and RKO him in the middle of a match and, like, cost him the match, and it hasn't happened yet. And it doesn't seem like it's going to happen at all.
Yeah, it's like, he's... And the funny thing is the crowd likes Randy Orton because Randy Orton at that point, like, you know, I'm Randy Orton. I've been here almost 20 years. I'm a G. I'm established. Yeah. But he didn't do anything to justify being a babyface. It's just one day, all right, Ricochet, I'm going to stop RKOing you. Okay, yay, we can cheer you again. Like, that's all it took?
Yeah, evidently. I'm confused myself, but evidently that is what it took.
That whole segment was weird because everybody was coming out. All these people want to challenge for the U.S. belt. Like five of them.
Oh.
They all, like, you know, Ray is like, oh, well, I ain't going to beat Brock. So I don't know if it's a funny thing. Like, none of them want to do it Brock Lesnar, so they're going to pick on AJ Styles. So it was like, you know, Chicago want to see me head a title match. They want to have me head a title match. Drew McIntyre had me roll like, you know, they want to see a young Scott. I'm handsome. I'm sexy. I have an accent. Chicago don't deserve this match, but I want the title match anyway. Like, I have never heard Drew McIntyre refer to himself as sexy.
Yeah, he called himself tall, dark, and handsome. That was more baffling than Randy Orton going babyface. I'm like, why is Drew McIntyre cutting a babyface promo, but like that was the most pandering promo he's ever cut.
I've got a sexy. I'm like, when did you turn into Ravishing Rick Rude? Like. What is going on? And he was basically crapping on Chicago, like, Chicago don't deserve this match because I'm too good for this match, but whatever. I still want a title shot. And AJ is like, I beat all you bums. And then the other people came out, well, you never beat me, so let me get my title match. And they all, like, all this for AJ Styles. Like, I didn't even realize they were going to have the match later on because I went shopping, and then I came home, and I found out, oh, Ray won the title. And they're like, Randy Orton helped them? What? And I'm like, why is AJ Styles mad at Randy Orton? But he pretend trying not to cry and doing his C-level acting job. But bless his heart, he tried his best. And he says, Randy Orton. And I see Rey Mysterio cutting a promo like, you know, I was about to retire. And I did it for my son. And I got love and everything like that. And speaking of love and his son, what did you think of the Survivor Series match?
I guess it was okay. Like, I didn't have any problems with it. Like,
I laughed my ass off at that match. Because it's just like, it was straight up a kung fu movie. Ray's trying to grab the pipe, Brock not letting him. Brock's beating him up and just laughing about it. Then Dominic comes out there. And it's like, what's going on with this? Then they both hit with low blows. And then they both hit the 619. They both hitting frog splash. I'm like, they not going to have Ray win. Are they? And the way they set up was like, I was into the match. The crowd was into the match.
Yeah.
And it was just fun. And then Brock like, all right, enough of this. Suplex Dominic again. And F5. And it's like, I know Dominic is trained. It's just surreal. I remember when Dominic was a kid and him and Eddie Guerrero was fighting, having a ladder match for custody. And I remember how small Dominic was. So to see Dominic as a grown-ass man in a ring with Brock Lesnar, it's like, wow, we're old.
I am reminded of that way too frequently. There are way too many people in way too many sports now that are sons of people that I watched when I was younger, and I'm just like, or yeah. The people that were playing are now coaches and have been coaches for like a decade. Just like, oh man, this is not feeling good right now.
Yeah, Jeremy always brings up Keith Kachuk's son, and I'm just laughing. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like LeBron James' son is in high school, and I remember when LeBron James was in high school. Like, it's different, like, you know, when you see Antoine Whitfield's son or Glenn Robinson's son. It's like, well, they were adults when I was a teenager. I'm older than LeBron James. And I remember, like, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade were in high school and college. And their children are about to be in college.
Yeah.
Like, I watch wrestling, and I'm like, The Rock's daughter will probably pop up at NXT in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, she's going to wrestle one of Triple H's children. That's just how it's going to go. And it's just going to be like, yeah, we've lived old enough where it's going to be fourth generation children wrestling in WWE.
Ooh, man. Hey, if we get lucky, we'll see fifth generation before everything's all said and done.
Oh, yeah. You mean Charlotte and Andrade's child? Become a diva or a WWE superstar 20 years from now. Yes.
Oh, man. That is one interesting couple.
It's funny, the horseman daughters are dating engaged to Mexicans. Who would have guessed it? Tessa Blanchard's engaged to Daga. I'm trying to figure out how does this Charlotte Andrade stuff start? Andrade didn't necessarily speak a lot of English, and Charlotte didn't necessarily speak a lot of Spanish. Who hooked them up? When's like, I saw your match.
Ooh, yeah.
I liked your match.
And they weren't really even, because they weren't in NXT really at the same time. I think Charlotte was gone by the
Charlotte
time.
Charlotte was gone by the time Andrade got there.
Yeah, so I mean, that takes away one answer, and like, I don't feel like they were on the same brand at the same time.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden you just heard rumors, oh, such and such dating. This is like, they serious. Then they each other Instagram pictures. Then they was like, well, whatever show Andrade's on, Charlotte has to be on. If Andrade's on there, Selena's gonna be there. That means Aleister Black has to be on that show. Cause, oh, they got married after it seemed like they were dating for a month. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, we are doing a good job of wrapping up the weirdness of 2019 a month in advance of wrapping up 2019.
Yeah. I mean, wrestling's a weird spot where you had Brock Lesnar wrestling Rey Mysterio for the title when they used to do that 17 years ago. You got Chris Jericho champion in AEW. You had all these indie guys just on come NXT superstar there on WWE TV. You know, I'm like, imagine 4 years ago, people say, oh, you know, Cain Velasquez, he'd be in WWE. Ronda Rousey was in WWE. You know, all your indie people like, oh, Keith Lee, WWE. Matthew Riddle, WWE. Chris Jericho, no, he's in a new promotion Cody Rhodes started on TNT. And Billy Gunn will be in there gyrating with people.
Oh.
In 2019. And meanwhile, on SmackDown, Triple H is going to bring the DX tank with Road Dogg and Shawn Michaels to lead NXT out like they're invading the Norfolk Scope. Would any of that make sense if you said it like 4 years ago?
I'm not sure it would have made sense 2 years ago.
Yeah, like I'm just, I guess you grab what to say. This Triple H thing is weird.
It gets weirder. And like I know that we've talked about it, but the longer it goes on, the weirder it gets.
It's not just him anymore. Shawn Michaels and Road Dogg on a truck with a turret. Like, we rolling for NXT. This is our baby. Huh? Shawn Michaels? I know, I can see Triple H because he... It's a status Triple H, you know, NXT's his baby. But the Shawn Michaels one just trips me out. Just so much. Like, he's there all the time. He brags about it, too. I'm like, I've talked to Jerry Mollin. That's Shawn Michaels. That's Hall of Fame Shawn Michaels. Like, yeah, I'm second in command. I'm proud of Adam Cole and Keith Lee. I wouldn't even think Shawn Michaels would have given a rat's ass about Keith Lee. And he's on Twitter bragging about how good his NXT boys are representing and the future of the business. And Road Dogg is there after he gave up his SmackDown job. He's just enjoying doing NXT stuff. Like, what? And Triple H comes on TV. This is my show. These are my boys. I'm going to make wrestling great. And we all know he's going to be running WWE as soon as Vince dies. And he's acting like he's Paul Heyman.
I mean, it's working because, I mean, NXT is still presented differently than the other two products.
Yes.
You know, whether you think it's better or worse than the WWE product, it is definitely presented different. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I understand the pride in it. And, I mean, he really has worked it to the point where, although it's still, to go back to The Miz, it is crazy to me that it's this season 3 that USA is having for The Miz and Mrs.
Yeah, because season 2 is when they moved to Austin. And now season 3, they're moving back to LA. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, a million people a week watch that show.
Yeah, I've watched zero episodes, but God bless the people that want to watch it. You know, obviously, I mean, it's good enough for USA to go, hey, we want another season, and The Miz is just watching his bank account go up.
I've watched a few, and it's fun. It's like, they like each other. They're likable. Like, Miz comes off as very likable and patient. Maurice is like a diva, but she's not unlikable. She's just high maintenance. I felt sorry for Miz when he got, like, some truffle fry. He got some truffle something. It was, like, $500. When Maurice was pregnant, I was like, ooh. I felt that in my pocket. I didn't even pay for it. That was season one. I was like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but, like, it's funny where that show has made Miz. Miz can't be a heel anymore.
Oh.
He can't, because it's like people have seen that show and seen how likable he is, and he brag about, I'm here. Like that promo he cut the Daniel Bryan, like, you know, you got to do this. No, stop. No, you got to protect our children. Like, Bray Wyatt's a madman. And Miz trying to be the voice of reason for Daniel Bryan before a title match is funny on so many levels, considering the history. The guy from Real World, the guy that we used to make fun of because he wasn't half the wrestler Daniel Bryan was, is now an elder statesman of WWE.
And they've settled their differences and are good enough to roll with this angle.
Yeah. What a strange world we live in.
2019, ladies and gentlemen, 2019. Yeah, I guess, is there anything else that we haven't really dusted off the cobwebs on to talk about in the past, like, ridiculous, like, I still can't believe I felt bad for Chicago by Raw. Like, there's no way you can keep the energy for that long. Like, and dear Lord, I hope someone, I don't really want to know how many people went to all four nights of WWE taping consecutively.
Somebody, because it's like, it's just too much, and the crowds, like, and it's not like you seeing new people for the most part. Like, a Survivor Series, so a lot of times you've been seeing the same people for like 3 days, 4 days in a row. Because considering you got SmackDown Friday, Takeover Saturday, Survivor Series Sunday, and Raw on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the Takeover is the only one that you definitely have a lot of repeat offenders, but there were more new faces on that show than any of the other ones.
Yeah, let's just say, depending on, you might have seen like Asuka 4 days in a row, or three out of 4 days. You've seen half of them 3 out of 4 days.
Yeah,
basically. And speaking of Asuka, I don't know how she spit out all that mist. But boy, I thought Charlotte was going. I laughed my ass because I knew it was going to happen. And Norm was like, it's just like a 1 second thing. That thing was like 3-4 seconds. And Charlotte, like, she got hit with a water bottle of green paint.
Yeah, that was rather impressive. And Asuka's Twitter presence has been something to me that has been something I did not expect, and something that I laugh at on a daily basis at this point.
Yeah, she's an extremely smart nerd that happens to look the way she looks, and also is like a world class wrestler. Like, you know, you might see her enjoy playing Super Mario Maker, or putting like a Genesis, a Sega CD, and a Sega Nomad together and make it work somehow. Or then it's like she have a cookie show bragging about making cookies. And then in the meantime, she's beating up Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Renaissance woman.
Yeah, there is nothing not to like about Asuka. And you'll even get some ramen noodle suggestions from her to boot. I mean, I'm down for that, especially with as much as they travel.
Yes.
I'm sure she has some good particular taste.
Save the date.
Yeah, I don't care where they came from. I'll eat them all. Okie
Oh,
dokie.
breaking news.
Uh-oh.
WWE applies for barely legal trademark. I mean, Cody took all the WCW ones because you're getting bashed to the beach and other stuff for AEW. So I'm like, I guess we're gonna have old ECW, ECW pay-per-view names. And do you really want to have a joke about barely legal with a, don't have Jerry Lawler call any shows on that. That's all I gotta say.
I was gonna say that definitely seems more like an NXT title than a main roster title.
Yes, but it's
But it's
just.
still, yeah, I think you're just asking for trouble going for that it in
I wonder.
this time frame.
It's kind of like you don't want to have pay-per-view that sound like browser pay-per-views. So, but speaking of which, Starrcade is this Sunday, so looking forward to that if I have time to watch it.
Oh, yeah. I was just like, when I saw the ad for that, I'm like, hold on. You're fucking doing another pay-per-view on Sunday? I'm like, oof.
I mean, it's like a super house show, but it's like you got one of the matches is what Kabuki Warriors, Charlotte and Becky, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross and Bayley and Sasha for the tag titles, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, four. It's like four tag teams for the tag titles.
Well, that could be fun. I mean, the Kabuki Warriors are definitely going to win that one, but it could be a lot of fun.
Never know. I'm like, I didn't expect Rey Mysterio to win the title Monday.
Yeah,
And
I
he
did.
won. And it's like, wrestling's weird. Got all these people. I'm still weird. Like, I've just accepted the fact that AJ Styles is the elder statesman of WWE because it was a time I would have never thought that would have happened.
Yeah, I mean, he's going on 5 years now, isn't he?
The funny thing is, I have no idea how time works. It could be 5 years, it could be 10 years. It's
Oh.
like, Dolph Ziggler, like people like Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, and Kofi Kingston have been there for over a decade.
Yeah.
So I have like I'm when it comes to wrestling and WWE, time is just a funny thing. Like, I see Matt Hardy looking pretending like he's 1999, and I'm like, I don't know. Like I don't know what year it is. I'm watching some of the people in this ring like wrestling, and I'm like, I guess this is what it, you can tell me any year. I don't know.
Yeah, that Matt Hardy one was pretty weird, especially since he completely went to the Hardy gimmick outerwear. I'm just like, no, literally, I saw you doing this 20 years ago.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Everything's, everything old is new again.
Yeah. Hey, God bless. Keep on cashing those checks. I will continue to do that in a day job, not at this job. But hey, Belltime beer for the evening. Break on through double IPA from North High Brewing. I am quite happy that I bought this for a house party and that I get to enjoy the spares that are here. Nice citrusy, refreshing double IPA, which honestly I can't say that about a lot of double IPAs because they are way too hoppy. But this one's hoppy and refreshing, so take that for what it is. I'm at Frango 11. He's at Philly Drugs. The
Yeah,
brand
I just had a
is
bottle of water from Nestle Pure Life.
Zest.
No IPA involved.
Yeah, I always 100% feel way more awkward because with you just because knowing that you don't drink at all.
I mean, the way you describe it, it sounds great. I have no idea what you talk about, Mike. That sounds like a hell of a mix.
Yeah, it is. I try to keep it to a minimum, but hey, I do enjoy the adult beverages, so I'm still going to pimp those. And it's coming up on the year end specials. I'm thinking about maybe doing a couple of beer podcasts here to end the year. We shall see. Yeah, Bran at Stunt Granny, and I'll let Shahid like take it out.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Duhati, and whatever is old will be new, will be old again, because that's how wrestling works. We are out.